This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, it's about this time of year, with Christmas behind us, when things are still feeling bleak and dark and cold, that our thoughts start to turn to summer and to holidays. And our screens are crowded with pictures of bronzed, relaxed-looking people in sunny, hot locations having the best time. And understandably, we want some of that. We want sun, we want culture, we want exciting places to explore. And it seems that sadly, all of those are only to be found at the end of a flight. But is that really true? Can we have a proper holiday without flying? Does it have to cost a fortune? Do we have to set aside a week just to get there? Well, who better to ask than Anna Hughes, director of Flight Free UK. I spoke to Anna and I started by asking her, is flying really that bad?
It's a good question to start with. And the answer is, in simple terms, yes. The general awareness of flights and their climate impact is very low amongst the general population. We tend to be aware of our impact when it comes to driving or maybe the diet that we choose. But just one flight, a return flight, could emit more carbon than driving for a year or eating meat for a year or heating your home for a year, of course, depending on where we're going. So flights really are the big one. And in terms of emissions, they really do overbalance everything else that we do in our lives.
Wow. Okay. So that's quite decisive then. This is something that we really need to be a bit more aware about. And then could you just tell us a bit about your charity, Flight Free UK? And I just wondered, is it all in the name? Is it really no flights never?
It does sound a bit like that, doesn't it? But no, that's not the case. So what we try and do is encourage people to travel without flying. And we do that through our Flight Free Challenge, which is, could you take a year off flying? And if you manage to do that, hopefully you'll have tried the alternatives and maybe broken a habit, because a lot of us fly because it's our habit. So we're not saying you can never fly again. We're just saying, could you give it a try for a year? And the idea is to create a social movement. So if lots of people do this, that's when society takes notice and that's when things really do start to change.
So just thinking about the alternatives to flying, I wondered about the comparison between flying and driving. For example, if we were to take a holiday in Europe and rather than flying, we decided to drive instead, would that be actually any better?
I think the key thing is in terms of how many people are in the car. So if you were driving a large vehicle by yourself, yes, it would be just as bad as flying in terms of emissions. But we tend not to go on holiday by ourselves. So, you know, if it's a couple or a family of four, then yeah, you're halving those emissions or quartering the emissions allocated to each person. So in general, car use is fine. The other thing we find, because we are encouraging people to travel without flying, and that does include all types of surface transport, you're not going to drive to Vietnam, for example, whereas you might fly there. So by virtue of driving, you would go shorter distances anyway.
So definitely preferable to flying, but you encourage us to think even a stage further than that and perhaps think about public transport if we can do. Now, often, I know that I will look at the cost of, for example, taking the train on a European journey compared to flying. And so often, the flight is so much cheaper than getting the train. I mean, is this always the case? And I just wondered if there's a way around this, or why is it as well?
Yeah, and that's definitely a barrier for lots of people, of course. One of the reasons why flying can be so cheap is because there's no tax on aviation fuel. So that it's not a level playing field. Already the aviation industry is able to take advantage of those low tax burdens. which doesn't really seem fair given that it's such a highly polluting form of transport. And given that we're facing the climate crisis, we would like to see the environmental cost of a particular journey actually reflected in the price of the ticket. And that would go a long way to changing people's behaviour as well. I mean, can you imagine if a train ticket was 10 times cheaper than the flight? You know, that's what you'd choose, isn't it? There are so many levels to this and so many difficulties. And just to continue to outline the difficulty, the problem, I suppose, airlines can often advertise a destination for £10-20, but that's not actually the price you're going to pay. You can at least double that by the time you've got to the airport, you know, have included those transfers, and many airlines will charge you for every single extra you get. So by the time you've actually got to your destination, you might have spent £50, £60, £70, which is much closer to the equivalent cost of the train or surface transport. But because you were attracted by that initial £20 fare, by that time you've kind of committed, and that's what really informs our choices. So that's another point in terms of enabling people to make informed decisions by giving them all the information up front and not allowing the airlines to cheekily kind of strip back every single part of the cost to just sell those tickets. But coming on to actually trying to find those cheap fares, we're a bit stuck here in the UK, given that if we are going to travel by train, we are reliant on the Eurostar. And that's so difficult that they have a monopoly, because they do charge really high fares in many cases. However, there are low fares available. So they're not very good at telling you this. If you go on a third-party website like Trainline and search for Eurostar ticket, it will only show you the expensive ones. Whereas on the Eurostar website itself, there's a cheap fare finder, and the prices start at £39, and there are always £39 tickets available, you know, even for tomorrow. It depends what time it is. So you might get an unfriendly time to get on your train. But hey, flying is also unfriendly times. You know, I'm sure we've all had times when we've been getting up at 2 a.m. to get to the airport. So that's an option. Also, once you have crossed the channel and you're on the continent, the train fares are much more reasonable. But if you're really looking for budget travel, then I would recommend the coach. So coach travel has come a long way in recent years, and it's no longer that kind of uncomfortable student-y experience. But it does give lots of options for those on a budget, because fares tend to be a lot cheaper.
Oh, that's a good tip. And I love that tip about the Eurostar as well. That is brilliant. And I just wonder what you thought might be the actual advantages of choosing not to fly. What, you know, just from our very personal, selfish point of view, might be the advantage?
Yeah, so as well as the huge emissions reduction, it's really good for the traveller to go overland. So we often talk about what we gain from travel, and that is seeing new places and being introduced to new cultures and experiencing new things and just getting some time off, some downtime. And I would argue that air travel doesn't necessarily give us that, because we are disconnected from where we started to where we end up. Whereas if you travel over land, you can see how those places connect in terms of geography, landscape, culture, the food. So if you're going on an overland journey and you're stopping every so often, you will be able to sample the changing food and the changing culture and the changing languages. Like, everything just steadily morphs until you arrive in your destination, which is really good for us as travelers. That is what helps us to understand the world. And then, of course, it is a very relaxing way to travel. When you fly, you spend a lot of your time standing in a queue. Whereas when you travel overland, the whole time you're traveling, you can basically relax, look out of the window, do some work, read a book, have a snooze, whatever you like to do. So there are so many advantages to slowing things down, and it really is a much more enriching experience. It's something to be enjoyed rather than endured, despite all this, because we do talk about this a lot at Flight Free UK, and we really try to push those advantages of traveling overland. But it's not until someone's actually done it that they really do understand that. That's why we do the challenge. So, you know, could you challenge yourself to only travel without flying for a year? And then once you've experienced that actually getting to X destination wasn't a nightmare, it was amazing, then you're more likely to try that again.
So it is the time of year that we're thinking about holidays, and the telly is full of beautiful ads for far off places that look so tempting, especially when it's sort of dark and cold here and it's lovely and sunny there. I just wondered if we can still have our sunny holiday and get there without flying. And where would you recommend we would go for that?
Yes, you absolutely can. And we are so lucky with Europe. We have a huge variety of places on our doorstep. And the Mediterranean is a fantastic place to head for sun. So even for winter sun, there's all coastlines of the Mediterranean, fantastic beaches, nice warm weather, even at this time of year. You could even go to North Africa. That's a fantastic destination for some winter warmth. And all of those places are perfectly accessible without flying. Even the islands in the middle of the Mediterranean, like Mallorca, like Sardinia, like Cyprus even. That's a long way, but that is possible without flying. Somewhere like Sardinia, for example, you would take a train down through France to Marseille and then a ferry from Marseille to Sardinia. There are also ports in Italy that take you there. These kind of exotic-ish destinations are perfectly well accessible. We would have to rule out places like Dubai, Thailand, those kinds of places. But there are so many places to discover here. And often if you do travel a bit closer to home, you realise that whatever you're looking for is here. I've had plenty of friends who've said to me, gosh, we went to this beach in France and it was just like being in Thailand.
Yeah, indeed. Well, all of that sounds very tempting. And oh, crikey, the idea of going to North Africa by surface travel, that sounds like a very adventurous and exciting trip. And so another favourite holiday destination is the ski trip. Are they easily accessible by surface transport, the traditional ski destinations?
Absolutely. And actually, skiing is one of the activities that we do really need to avoid flying for, because our emissions from our flights directly contributes to there being a lack of snow on the slopes. And if you're someone who skis, you might have noticed that in the last few seasons, it's been really patchy in terms of the amount of snow. And that's because of global heating. So we do really need to reduce our emissions if we want to continue skiing in the future. So I went skiing a couple of years ago to one of the Swiss Alps resorts on Zer. And it was a wonderful journey. Eurostar to Paris, cross Paris on the metro, and then TGV from Paris Gare de Lyon to Lausanne, which is on Lake Geneva. And then it was a slow train from Lausanne to Sion, which is in the Valais region of Switzerland. And then we got a taxi up to the resort. There are actually official snow trains that do this route, not that particular route, but the French Alps, like the kind of collection of resorts that are very close together. Eurostar runs a specific snow train that will take you directly there. No changing. It's brilliant. If you do change in Paris, then it opens up a lot of other resorts. You know, two trains from London will get you to most of the resorts in the Alps. But there's also coach travel. So there's also the Snow Express coach. So again, really good budget option. And there's no luggage restriction. So it's so handy if you're going skiing. But yeah, lots of options. And as I say, really important that we do avoid that flight when we're going skiing.
So often it can be the amount of time that it takes to travel by train, for example, that puts us off. So I just wondered if you could give us a couple of destinations in Europe that are places that we would like to go to, but they're actually quite quick to get to as well, quite easy to get to.
Yeah, so there are a few places that is one stop on the train from the UK. So once you've got to London, because of course not everybody lives in London, but once you've got to London, from wherever you come from, you can get a direct Eurostar to Amsterdam, Lille, Brussels, Paris, all of which are fantastic destinations, many of which people fly to, right? So, you know, that's the easiest one to get a direct Eurostar, no changes. Oh, Rotterdam as well, sorry. If you want to then add one more dimension, you can change trains in Paris to another train, or in Lille, or any of those destinations, you can change to another train. And then one more train could get you to many destinations in Germany, Italy, even Spain. You can get to Spain in a single train from Paris all the way to Barcelona. So just if you're at the beginning of your flight-free journey and you're just trying things out, just a single change of train in Paris can open up the whole of Europe for you. And the high-speed trains in Europe are brilliant. Super comfy, super fast.
And you've spoken about going by coach. Any recommended coach destinations that you would like to tell us about?
Yeah, so if you look up the Flixbus network, so that's F-L-I-X bus, that network covers the whole of Europe. And there are a combination of daytime coaches and then nighttime coaches. So And it depends which one you get as to what the facilities are like, whether you're sleeping in the seat or whether you do have a layback bed style thing. Traveling while you sleep is such an efficient way to get around, and you really can go long distance. But the destinations on offer are every destination you can think of in Europe would be connected by coach. You might have to make a couple of changes along the way, but you know, you can, if you want to, you can explore the whole of Europe by coach.
Wow. Okay. Crikey. The sky's the limit. Or not the sky. The ground is the limit, isn't it? So just to finish off, Anna, I just wondered if you could just give us a couple of your favourite holiday destinations. Just a bit of inspiration for us.
Do you know what? I'm going to go off piece a little bit here and I'm going to say the UK. So I think one of the things we do forget is that we also live on an amazing island here and we have so many fantastic holiday destinations. Yes, I do understand that this time of year it's not the best weather and we do want to escape. So, you know, as we've explained, there are plenty of places we can escape to. But let's not overlook the absolute treasures we have here. We have mountains, we have beaches, we have cities, we have countryside, we have lakes, we have canal towpath, we have any kind of holiday that you would want, and we overlook what's under our noses quite a lot, and we shouldn't, because it is really, we are so lucky to live in such a beautiful country.
My thanks to Anna Hughes, director of Flight Free UK. And you might be interested to hear that Anna is coming to talk to a meeting of Sustainable St Albans on the 11th of March, and there'll be details on the Sustainable St Albans website. I'll try and remind you near the time. Now, flights, of course, leave from airports, and Luton Airport is expecting us to want to take even more flights, given its plans to nearly double the number of passengers using the airport per year. And to hear more about that, visit the podcast page of mix926.com and look for the show from the end of last year where Councillor John Hale of St Albans Quieter Skies updates us. So, will you be rising to the Flight Free Challenge and planning a no-fly holiday for 2025? Or are your faraway holidays too precious to lose? Well, it's a difficult one, I know. So do send me your thoughts. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.